This series by UBS is presented by Automated Voices and may include adaptive narration.
Welcome to the CIO House View Daily, bringing you the latest market developments and investment insights. I'm Christopher Swan from the UBS Chief Investment Office. It's Thursday, the 20th of August, and the time is 7 a.m. in New York. Equity markets delivered a mixed performance. At the latest US close, the S&P 500 gained 20 bips. In Europe, the stocks Europe 600 edged down 10 bips. In Asia, the Nikkei 225 declined 3.2%, while China's Shanghai Composite fell 2.4%. In foreign exchange, the euro buys 1.17 US dollars, while the dollar buys 0.8 Swiss francs. The US 10-year Treasury yield stands at 4.64%, down 7 basis points. Brent crude is up 0.5% at $91 a barrel, while gold gained 2.6% to $4,478 an ounce. And that's all for the market update. Now let's take a more detailed look at the latest developments. Turning to today's main topic, the US Treasury surprised markets this week by doubling the size of its buyback operations for longer-dated treasuries, targeting the 10 to 30-year segment. The move followed a rise in the 30-year Treasury yield to 5.34%, its highest level since 2007. This came amid growing concern over persistent fiscal deficits, rising government borrowing needs, and weaker demand for long-duration government debt. The increase in buybacks is modest relative to the $32 trillion Treasury market, but it still prompted a notable reaction. The US dollar weakened against every major G10 currency, with the dollar index down 0.8%, gold rallied more than 4%, and equities moved higher. The announcement was also unexpected because it came just 2 weeks after officials outlined a buyback schedule that gave no indication of the move. It was timed ahead of a closely watched 20-year auction and during the typically quiet late summer trading period. The Treasury's actions may have helped cap this week's surge in yields, but we think investors should avoid overinterpreting the longer-term implications. First, the Federal Reserve's path still depends on inflation rather than intervention. Although the Treasury announcement overshadowed the July Fed minutes, those minutes reinforced that inflation remains policymakers' primary concern. Several officials favoured a rate increase, while many believed further tightening could be necessary if inflation failed to improve. At the same time, most participants expected inflation pressures to moderate over the rest of the year. Importantly, the minutes predated the softer inflation and labour market data released this month. In our view, the latest figures remain consistent with the Fed staying on hold this year, although its stance will remain data-dependent. History also shows that bond market interventions have limits. Japan and the UK offer useful lessons, as both have used bond purchases, buybacks, or issuance adjustments to influence long-end yields. Such measures can reduce volatility and provide temporary relief, but they have not permanently lowered borrowing costs when fiscal, inflation, or supply dynamics remained unfavorable. We believe the same principle applies in the US. The Treasury's buybacks may discourage aggressive curve steepening trades and reduce near-term market stress, but they do not address the forces supporting higher-term premia, including persistent deficits, elevated demand for capital, and a shift in Treasury ownership toward more price-sensitive private investors. The program's temporary nature, running from the 9th of September through the 4th of November, further supports the view that this is a tactical measure rather than a permanent solution. While unusual, this is not quantitative easing. Unlike the Federal Reserve, the Treasury cannot create money to fund asset purchases. Its buybacks must be financed elsewhere, most likely through increased bill issuance or adjustments to other parts of its funding program. The operation therefore reshapes the maturity profile of the debt held by investors rather than reducing the amount that markets must absorb. It neither removes the government's financing needs nor resolves concerns about Treasury supply. We take the intervention as further evidence that policymakers are increasingly focused on stability at the long end of the yield curve and are uncomfortable with the pace of the recent rise in yields. The action may cap near-term yield volatility and reduce the risk of disorderly market moves, but it does not fundamentally alter the outlook for rates. Our base case remains that the Fed is unlikely to raise rates this year if inflation continues to moderate, although policymakers have retained the option to tighten if price pressures prove more persistent than expected. For investors, we continue to favor quality fixed income in short and medium-term maturities. We believe yields in these segments remain attractive, offering compelling income opportunities without requiring a strong view on long-term interest rates. At the same time, we see little reason to position aggressively for higher long-end yields. We also remain constructive on equities. A potential near-term cap on bond yields and lower rate volatility would further support market sentiment, particularly in rate-sensitive sectors such as technology and artificial intelligence. However, we believe the more important drivers of equity performance remain robust earnings growth, resilient economic activity, and continued investment in artificial intelligence infrastructure. Periods of volatility like this can be used to diversify equity exposure, balancing technology leadership with cyclical opportunities and a broadening of earnings growth. Turning now to another development that caught our attention, UK consumer price inflation rose to a four-month high of 2.9% year over year in July, up from 2.6% in June. This followed a 13% increase in the regulated household energy price cap. The Bank of England expects inflation to rise further and peak at around 3.2% later this year, while renewed strength in oil prices presents an additional risk. However, measures of domestic and underlying price pressure were more subdued. Services inflation eased to 3.4% from 3.6%, while inflation in food and non-alcoholic beverages fell to 1.3%, its lowest level in almost 2 years. Factory gate inflation slowed to 3.1% from 3.5%. According to Brightmine, median pay awards also declined to 3.2% in the 3 months through July, their lowest since September. Our view is that the broader global inflation picture remains more encouraging than the UK headline suggests. Recent data from the UK, the Eurozone, and the US provide little evidence that higher energy costs are becoming embedded in wages or generating broad second-round effects. We expect the Bank of England to leave the bank rate at 3.75% through the end of 2026 before cutting it to 3.5% in March 2027 and 3.25% in June. We expect limited further tightening from the European Central Bank and no Federal Reserve rate hikes this year. Markets therefore appear to be pricing an overly aggressive path for central bank tightening. We continue to favour quality short and medium maturity bonds and see value in select longer maturity Eurozone bonds. Looking ahead, the focus will be on US initial jobless claims and the Philadelphia Fed Business Index, Japan's trade balance for July, and the Riksbank's rate decision. And that's it for today. I'm Christopher Swan from the UBS Chief Investment Office, and we look forward to bringing you the latest update tomorrow.
This material has been prepared and published by the Global Wealth Management Business of UBS Switzerland AG, regulated by FINMA in Switzerland, its subsidiaries or affiliates, collectively referred to as UBS. The investment views have been prepared in accordance with legal requirements designed to promote the independence of investment research. This material is for your information only and is not intended as an offer or a solicitation of an offer to buy or sell any investment or other specific product. The analysis contained herein does not constitute a personal investment recommendation or take into account the particular investment objectives, investment strategies, financial situation, and needs of any specific recipient. This material may not be reproduced or copies circulated without prior authority of UBS. Please visit www.ubs.com/CIO-disclaimer to read the full legal disclaimer applicable to this material.